Our text is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, where Paul says, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. In reference to that particular text, Luther said, we must discard all other knowledge and wisdom and know absolutely no one else than Christ crucified. As a young man, Luther told his young friend George Spenlein, my dear friar, learn Christ and him crucified. Learn to praise him and, despairing of yourself, say, Lord Jesus, you are my righteousness just as I am your sin. On one occasion in his arguing against the humanist Erasmus, Luther summed up his theology simply by saying, we teach nothing save Christ crucified. The reason for that was that, as Luther indicated, it was the theology of the scriptures. And that's essentially why Paul in our text then says to the Corinthians that he determined not to know anything among them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now then, why, in a human sense? Why was he determined to know only Christ crucified among them? In that land of poverty, disease, and death, he could have known among them a social reform. Certainly they needed that. Or he could have brought to them or known among them the latest medical discoveries to relieve their suffering. Or he could have brought to them, he could have known among them the story of his own life, his harrowing experiences. Or he could have detailed his own works, his preaching, his persecution for Christ, his astonishing miracles of healing. He could have extolled himself as a theologian, but Paul knew that that kind of preaching would have been empty, that that kind of ministry among them would have been useless. It would have been like patching things up for a moment. It would perhaps at best have made the people feel good temporarily by taking their minds off their problems, but it would not save them from that final enemy, death. Paul knew, so did Luther, and so do we, that what is needed in this dying universe is not a new building here or there, not some new medical discovery to cure cancer or the other fatal diseases that we fear so much, because sooner or later, whether we like it or not, we're going to die. What we need is not a new cold remedy, not some headache powder, not some powerful tranquilizer to hold men's emotions in check for a moment. Patching things up simply won't do. What is needed is an entirely new creation, a complete renovation. The clay marred in the potter's hands must be plunged back into the lump, and an entirely new creation formed and shaped and molded on the potter's wheel. And it is this scene, death stalking men everywhere, around every corner, death having invaded every atom and molecule of the universe, death ruling and reigning, it's that scene which the scriptures depict and indicate must be dealt with at its very heart and core. The question for Paul or for Luther or for you and me is, who will bring us out of this disease-infested land, this dying planet, to a new land? Well, the one hanging there is the leader. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know, he says, that I am the one. He's the one that the Father promised, the prophet, who would bring complete relief and restoration to a fallen, dying universe by taking on himself its death, soaking it up like a blotter, thereby destroying it. That one hanging there is the only begotten seed of Abraham, who willingly carried the wood on which he would become the offering, and no angel stayed the hand of those who pierced him. And his father received him back from the dead, from that far country, and joyfully put on him the royal robe and put everything under his feet, crowning him with glory and honor. Life now reigns everywhere over everything. Christ is the only one who had the coinage to make the proper payment for everything. And he says through the psalmist, "Then I restored that which I took not away." And that's what he's doing there. Making complete restoration, restitution. He paid the uttermost farthing for everything with everything that he had. Well, we can hear the echo from the Old Testament. "I'm Joseph, the beloved son, your brother, brought forth from the dark prison alive and given the kingdom. You thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. I can take care now because I have at my disposal all of the creative resources of the Father. I can take care of any question you might have, anything you might be worried about." Well, anything? How about this question? If a man dies, will he live again? Well, he's living proof of that, isn't he? Can these dry bones live? In the resurrection of the Father's only Son from the dead, the answer, of course, is yes and amen. "I will ransom them from the power of the grave and redeem them from death." We, the children of Israel, have come out from the land of darkness and disease and death with him, through the waters in which all of our enemies have been drowned, and have been born again with new life, and have been given the kingdom. And as he stands there, having thrown open the gates of our prison, he joyfully announces, "Here I am. Here I am, and the children whom thou hast given me, none of them have I lost." Our salvation is absolutely assured and guaranteed. And it is that, Paul's own rescue from death and the eternal life which he possessed, that he had in mind then when he says to the Corinthians, "I determined not to know anything among you," obviously. "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." The cross then was both for Paul and for Luther, and it certainly is for you and for me, the tree of life. Paradise is restored there. Whoever eats of the fruit of that tree will live forever. Well, Paul was alive from the dead. Naturally, he preached that life. It was the love of Christ, not his love for Christ so much, but the love of Christ which constrained him to do it. The cross was his motivation, and his consecration for ministry was complete. Not half-hearted, not lukewarm, not vacillating. Paul now stands on the Lord's side for good and for all, and probably in all of human history there has never been a life which surpassed Paul's in its utter dedication and devotion to one purpose, the cross. He could say, as none other could, "This one thing I do." The love of Christ and the consecration which that love inspired, the desire to be like him, were the master impulses in his life, and no earthly terror, no prize, no ambition could ever separate him from this allegiance. He could truly say, "For me to live is Christ, and to die gain." In this consecration, he became a happy slave of Jesus Christ, a man of great powers and all of them dedicated to the service of the cross. His one aim in life was to represent Christ in the world and to the world. And so he writes in this text, "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Now may the Lord give each of us the strength and the determination in our ministries not to know anything among our people save this very Jesus Christ and him crucified. And may he do that for the crucified's sake. Amen.